According to recent surveys and studies, spirituality is important to a majority of people in our country. Some even go on to say that they pray regularly or they regularly undertake spiritual practices and disciplines, things that they find important. But what's striking about this is it does not mean, as it did in the past, that the folks who say those things come to church. In fact, you have probably all heard about the rise of the group called the spiritual but not religious. Those who find spirituality important and undertake spiritual practices, but do not belong to any organized group. Evermore, the understanding of and the practice of spirituality is being defined broadly. It can mean so many things, including going off by oneself, being alone, communing with nature. It can even mean finding self-fulfillment. Increasingly, going to church is seen as one of the many options and choices available on a Sunday morning. It's seen as a leisure activity like others. Now, you may not be surprised to know that these things have gotten the attention of people in the church, particularly of clergy, and questions have been asked about, well then, how do we attract people's attention? How do we market ourselves? How do we communicate the word about who we are and what we are doing, what is happening in our particular faith communities? How can we be seen and heard in the midst of so many other and competing voices calling for attention? I think an answer is to be found today in Paul's actions in the lesson from the Acts of the Apostles. What Paul undertakes offers us some clues. Paul is in Athens, and we come in sort of in the middle of the story, but if you read it from the beginning, you learn that Paul is distressed because as he moves through Athens, he sees so many idols in that city. But Paul also realizes in their having so many idols, so many temples dedicated to idols, these Athenians hunger, they are searching, they're looking for truth. Paul knows that they love learning and that they quest after seeking out new learning. In fact, the lesson says, in a portion we didn't read this morning, that they would spend their time in nothing but telling or hearing something new. They have a hunger, and so they are searching, and they are restless until they can complete that searching, that hunger can be satisfied. I was struck in listening to Paul explain this, that he anticipates what St. Augustine says several centuries later in his Confessions, when St. Augustine, talking about God, says, "You have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." Paul understands this restlessness in the Athenians. He understands that they are searching. And so when he comes across an altar dedicated to an unknown God, he sees his opening. So Paul affirms their searching, the quest that they are on, but then offers them the truth that he says he knows who this God is, this God whom they call the unknown. And he tells them about this God. He says, "This God is the one who created everything, the one who set life in motion. This God is the object of their quest and their search. This God is the one without whom they will remain restless. They will grope after." So Paul teaches that he knows the God they search for, and it is the God revealed in Jesus, the one crucified and raised on the third day. But Paul also teaches them that to follow Jesus is to leave behind their other gods and follow only Jesus. And in doing so, they will find their restlessness quieted, and they will come into that divine life that God desires for them. Now, later in the lesson, we're told that many laughed at Paul and rejected this notion. There were some, however, who were curious about what they called this strange teaching, especially this notion of being raised from the dead. And they invite Paul to talk with them more, to teach them further. And the end of the account says, some came to believe and to follow. There's a way in which our age may not be different from Paul's age. It's a time when we have to explain the good news of Jesus. It's a time that we have to invite others into the abundant life that God has in store for those who would come to know God. In our gospel, Jesus talks about the promise of the Holy Spirit, that advocate who is coming, who will be with us forever. Through the Holy Spirit, we will know God, because God is abiding within us, dwelling in us, as close as our own breath. And so, through the Spirit, our hearts can rest because we know God. God is with us. Our hunger can be satisfied. And it is through the Spirit that we are able to love God, the God who loves us, the God who lives with us. Paul offers us an understanding of seeing his times, of knowing where people are coming from, what they are thinking, what they are hoping for. And Paul accepts them where they are. And then he offers them the gospel, that gospel that he has staked his own life on. This is, I think, the task of every age. We are called to live faithfully, to live the hope that has been placed within us, to follow Jesus and to be a witness to his death, resurrection, and ascension, to accept the gifts of the Spirit and to proclaim Jesus that all may come to see and know him through our words and through our actions. But each age has to come to an understanding of how to do that, of what that means for them. This requires, I think, constant prayer and listening, discerning what God is doing, where God is calling us, where God is active. On this day, we are celebrating a milestone in this community. It's the 100th anniversary of the groundbreaking for the construction of this church. More than a century ago, our ancestors in the faith were attentive to God's call. They understood their time, their context, and the city around them. They saw how it was changing. Founded in 1859, spending 50 years in that first church on North Main Street, the parish decided that God was calling us to something new, in fact, to a bold move. And so, after 50 years, they purchased this land here on Hope Street, this new neighborhood that was just being founded, houses just being built, sold the church and moved here, boldly responding to God, taking a risk in following God's call, trusting that God was leading. And here we are, 100 years later, gathered in that building built a century ago, giving thanks for the witness and the vision of those who came before us. Today we celebrate, at the end of this liturgy, our annual Rogation procession, that time we give thanks to God for the beauty of creation and the bounty of creation, and will process around the church, offering prayers at the four points of the compass. And in that procession, we'll offer a special prayer and thanksgiving for this building, for the groundbreaking 100 years ago this week. And I hope and I pray that we might begin the second century in this place as faithfully as they did a century ago. Nearly 5 years ago, in anticipating this anniversary, I suggested that there are different ways to celebrate a milestone like this. One is to look to the past, certainly to know our history, to celebrate what has happened before. But I think another is that call to look ahead, to look to the future, to ask the question, how are we being called to begin the second century here on Hope Street? What is it that we are being called to do that honors the past, what our ancestors in the faith did in this parish in 1917? What bold things are we being called to do in this place as we begin the next century? For the past 5 years, we have been discerning and praying and living into those questions, and I give thanks for how we are answering them. For I see, as I look at the parish, how we are more connected to the community around us, monthly staffing Camp Street Ministries food pantry, how we're active in the relationship building work in the Mount Hope neighborhood, how we provide space for groups like the cooking program, teaching young people from this neighborhood to cook the vegetables they grow in the community garden, how our local Girl Scout troop made up of girls from this neighborhood meets here. our work at expanding our music program, forming a choir for youth of this parish, other parishes, and young people from the community around us. This choir will offer an excellent musical experience, but I'm also convinced will change lives of those who participate. And how we continue to welcome new people to this community. With joy, we receive them into this body and experience new energy and new gifts that are unleashed. How our common life is enriched by those who join us. And so, as we begin this 100th anniversary, there's much to be thankful for, much to give thanks for about our life in this place. As we move into the second century, I pray that we will continue to be attentive to God's call. And I think we do that by being regular in prayer, in coming in silence before the one who is the author of all life, that we might rest in God and listen for that still small voice of God. May we continue to build meaningful relationships with those in our neighborhood, learning as Paul did about their joys, their challenges, and their hopes. May we fight injustice and continue work for reconciliation. And may we, like Paul, live and proclaim Christ crucified and resurrected, that we may embody the hope that is within us, that we can witness through word and deed to all that God is doing. Through the power of the Spirit, may we use those gifts that God has given us in this place at this time. And may we ultimately always rest in the God who is never far from us, the God who created us, the God who loves us, and the God who calls us to be the body in this place. To God be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen.